My special guest is health writer Mary Summers, who joins us by phone from her home, her winter home in Tucson, Arizona. Mary has worked on border-related issues through the Unitarian Universalist Church, along with other connected churches in the area, and specifically the grassroots group known as No More Deaths. Welcome to the program, Mary.
Hi, Judy.
Hi. I understand that you received a humanitarian award for your work with the Unitarian Universalist Church, and I want to congratulate you.
On Sunday, John Pike, who was the founder of the Sanctuary Movement, also is the founder of No More Deaths, will be doing a special service at the Unitarian Church here, and 15 members will be receiving a certificate of award as a UU humanitarian. And they've included me in that, so I'm very thrilled and also quite humbled, because I'll be with people like Walt Stanton, who is someone who's studying to be a minister and was the person that there was a lot of press and excitement when I came to town about Walt, because they were going to possibly send him to prison for littering and dropping off water for migrants. But he's now accepted his community service, but I think he will be one of them. As well will probably Lila Pine and Craig McComb. Craig works with WORT on Wednesday night. So Madison will be well represented. I don't know who the others are, but I do know there's 15, and I'm just guessing that some of these people who have been pretty active will be receiving them as well. I'm very proud of the Unitarian Church here, because it is taken on No More Deaths as its ministry. And when I came the end of November, I think I came on a Friday, I knew about No More Deaths from Lila Pine speaking at Prairie UU Church in Madison, and went to church on Sunday, and the following night, No More Deaths had a meeting Monday night, and I've been going ever since. So it's it was a big magnet for me, and Tucson is not far from the border. It's only about 75 miles, and where a lot of the action for some of the policies that have changed the migrant movement into the United States happens in right outside, maybe 50 miles, where we're having the deaths and having the arrests and having a lot of activity. So
in other words,
is a wonderful city. It's a great big blue spot, Democratic in the wide red Arizona state. It's a progressive college town, but wow, it has its killing fields right outside its city.
So the killing fields. Now, I understand a lot of skeletal remains have been found in southern Arizona in the desert. Originally, I thought that was in Mexico, but no, that's in Arizona, too. So,
yeah, I could give you a little history. I think what happened is in the 90s, shortly after Bill Clinton became president, there was this big job boom, and migrants were coming into the United States in an increased number to get jobs. And Bill Clinton was put under a lot of pressure to try to stop this. And I know one big area where they were coming in, they were estimating maybe as many as 10,000 in a week, was the San Diego area. There was big crossings over in El Paso. So there was a decision made and to block off these big cities. And Arizona also got some of its cities, like Nogales and Douglas, blocked off. And the idea by the immigration head, Doris Meissner, she actually said these words. She said that we did believe that geography would be an ally to us. It was our sense that the number of people crossing the border through the Arizona desert would go down to a trickle.
Okay.
And they actually had a policy they called prevention of deterrence. Critics have called it deterrence of cruelty. And the idea was they would close off the main corridors where people were crossing into the country and leave open these treacherous, hilly areas filled with cactus. And between the fact that it would be very difficult, people would die, and they would have to also then start hiring people for greater sums of money to help them, that they would stop coming. Now, of course,
why do people, Mary, why do
totally
Mary
policy? The only thing that seems to have come out of it is
Mary.
That,
can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Why do people keep coming across the border? I mean,
I think that's what they weren't. They didn't think about very carefully. That they thought that they were going to stop because they're not coming here on vacation. They were coming here for the jobs. There was a big jobs boom, and particularly men were crossing, I think, to get jobs into the United States. And what happened is, as it became more difficult to come back and forth, men were able to send their money home to the wives and children, and they were able to go home and visit their families, not maybe every week, but enough, you know, frequently that it worked for them. But what happened is when they could not go back and forth, they told the families decided that it would be better for the women and the children to cross over and stay here. So then you had women and children crossing into this terrible desert area and starting to die. So all of a sudden we're having women and children who are dying in the desert. And the policy has just become more complicated now with all the deportations that we're having, because now the families are here and they're deporting the people who are working back into the other side of the border.
You have talked about the increased militarization at the Arizona-Mexico border. How did that come about, and what is the... well, you talked about the campaign prevention through deterrence, but so can you talk about why the increased militarization?
Well, that came also along with the 90s. The government wanted to stop the undocumented people coming in, period. Just stop it. And between 1993 and 2008, there has been an increase in agent staffing, border staffing, by 354,000, and Border Patrol funding an increase of 867%. So we get 867% more for Border Patrol and agent staffing levels by 354%. And still there's no decrease in attempt for migrants to stop crossing. So it's a total... This statistic comes from the American Public Health Association, which has stated recently in a November article that this border crossing deaths into Arizona is a public health crisis. And it is a public health crisis because we've had 5,600 deaths along the border since then.
Okay. Now, Mary, there's something weird here. So it's 2010, and the states, the feds, whoever, are hiring more agents. They've purchased more vehicles, cars, etc., helicopters, bought or borrowed them. They've bought more guns. They've spent other kinds of ammo, and they've spent more money on night vision equipment, probably hired more dogs. Okay, and there's more deaths. Now, Who pays for all this, and do they not recognize failure? The people who...
Well, I think that they are recognizing that there's some failure in, like, the towers and all the money they put into that, because a report was supposed to come out this week, I think, and Janet Neapolitan did freeze the funding for that. It depends upon, I mean, there is a lot of, let me put it this way. What have we become that we allow 5,600 people to die in our desert and we aren't outraged by this? I mean, this is happening 50 miles from a major city. Think of Madison, and if this was the Baraboo area, about 50 miles away, and we hit Canadians crossing. I mean, wouldn't people get excited if there were all these people that were white and speaking English that were dying in the northern woods? Of course there would be.
Of course there would
be. But because they're dark skin, this is what I think, they're dark skin, they speak Spanish, they're not treated as human beings. But where is the outrage with this? I mean, it has come once in a while. I can see by the history that there are times in Tucson and outside the area where people have gotten excited about this when someone's been arrested or a 14-year-old girl dying, but it doesn't last. I mean, people are just afraid to go near the border. I mean, we were there a couple days ago, and in some of the areas where we were driving, in the rural areas near Sasebe or near the National Wildlife Areas or Aravaca, where they pick up a lot of migrants, people are afraid. They're afraid of the coyotes. I mean, one of the things that's happened is the drug smugglers have decided that, you know, they could make money by bringing people over. So they're charging a lot of money, and they're bringing people over, and they're bringing them over and not caring for them very well. They just move them through the countryside very, very quickly. And I mean, I'm talking about big numbers. I think they arrest about the Border Patrol and the Fish and Wildlife and everyone else that's running around in these vehicles, they arrest about 1,000 people a day, and maybe another 2,000 get across. So we are still talking about a lot of traffic here. So this policy is not working. It's just that now that the jobs are down, the numbers are down of people crossing, but the deaths are going up. And one of the things that No More Deaths does is go out in, they decided in 2004 to actually go out in the desert, call out to people, do you need water, do you need help, do you need any medical care? Because people have really been, their feet get blistered trying to walk through this cactus, or the coyotes are moving through real fast, and they get scratched, they don't have water. I mean, one of the things that No More Deaths wants is to be able to put out water bottles freely so that when women are running by with their children, they can pick up the water and keep going, because they're afraid if they stop, if it's tethered or tied down into these big tanks that they have out there, that they will get lost. And that is the people who are dying. It's the people that the coyotes think are slow, they get sick, they leave them behind, and they're the people who are sitting in the desert waiting for the Border Patrol or someone like No More Deaths to find them. And now, then they deport them.
I understand there's a lot of abuse going on. The coyotes are among the abusers. And there was
the rape trees?
The rape trees, yeah. What on earth is a rape tree?
Well, one of the things that you will find in the desert, I haven't seen it, but I've heard about it. No More Deaf people see them. There'll be a tree with a woman's garments hanging on it, and that means that they have been sexually abused by the traffickers who are bringing them across. And the other kind of abuse that goes on is some of the Border Patrol are very nice. And even though, you know, they're not a supporter of no more deaths, they certainly understand that dying in the desert is not a good way to go. And they seem appreciative of the work that they do. But there are other who really see it as their job to deter these people after they pick them up. I mean, they're one of the things that I have been interested since I've been here is on immigration reform. And because there's no custody standards. They pick up 1,000 people a day, and there's no custody standards for holding them short-term or long-term, and just leave it up to the people who pick them up and their attitude and how they feel that day and how they treat people. So there's been a lot of abuse by the people who have been held in custody before they're taken back to Mexico or to their country. They do things like won't give them water, they won't take care of their feet, they won't give them medical care, they push women into the cactus. They try to deter them so they won't try to come back again by doing physical kinds of things to them and not helping them at all. So one of the things in the Representative Gutierrez's bill is to get some custody standards. The other thing that is in the bill that is, I think, a good, certainly something that they need to do is stop Operation Streamline. They have an Operation Streamline of putting people who they admit to being guilty, and they don't take a felony, but they say they'll take a felony if they come back again. And they go to court. I've been there a couple times to watch it. They find 70 people in less than an hour guilty. People who don't, many of them can't understand English and what they're saying. And they have to stand up and say their name, and they call their name, they say yes, and then they ask them, do you, they go through that, and then they ask them if they agree to the sentence, they say yes, and then they're all in shackles, and then they take them off, and some of them, I think I don't remember exactly what all the criteria is, but it could be if they have some misdemeanor or crime. They hold them for 30 to 60 days. And corporations are building these detention holding centers. I mean, there's a lot of money, not only all the money that's gone into Border Patrol and all the money the coyotes are making, but now all these corporations in 22 different states have these holding facilities where they're holding all these migrants that they're picking up. Some of them they take right back. They have these buses that go out around the desert and pick up migrants and take them right back to Mexico and just drop them off. And No More Deaths has stations over in the Mexico side where they treat people, give them food and water and treat the medical condition and try to, you know, help them what they can to get back with their families. The other kind of abuse they sometimes do is they'll take a family and they won't drop them all off in the same place. So here they are, and they don't know where to find the rest of their family.
Wow.
I just ask myself all the time, what have we become that we have this human rights right here outside of a major city?
Yeah, that is now I want to ask a couple questions about health care. You said that the Border Patrol picks these people up, brings them to court and everything, and some of the people are limping and everything. Aren't there some standards that they're supposed to give proper medical care before they haul them off to court?
There's no custody. My understanding is there's no custody standards for holding people. That's one of the things we want in immigration reform.
Okay.
Something as basic as that.
Now, No More Deaths trains people to provide first aid to people they find lost in the desert, and I believe you said that you received some of that training. What do they train you to do, Mary?
Training. And I am a nurse, and I do speak Spanish. Those are two things they're very interested in. And I plan to work over on the Mexico side next year when I come and give medical care. So I'll have a lot more to tell you next year. But I did want to tell you before we close that I've been involved with the sister city of Madison. And when I came here at first, I thought, well, this is really important work. You know, I'm not doing that important work in Madison, but I am seeing it. You know, to keep people in their communities like these sister cities are doing is just wonderful work. To keep these families together. I mean, how horrible it is that we have this wall that's separating families and they're trying to, you know, walk as far as they can. I mean, how did anybody think you were going to stop people? How far do you walk to feed your family? How far do you walk to find your father? So, and the other thing is, you know, this has been going on for around 15 years. We had a good policy before this, that people were more open to be able to come and go. So we could change this. This doesn't have to stay this way. NAFTA does, which has caused a lot of problems, doesn't have to stay this way. I think we have to open up ourselves to the fact that we have to change things that don't work.
I think that's a good idea. So what can we do here to support immigration, to support immigrants' rights here in Madison and also in southern Arizona? What effect could we have? I think it's unconscionable that all these...
Well, I think immigration reform has to come. There's so many families that are just waiting to be united that these bills would help. I think Obama is ready for it. I think he told, to get his vote on health care, my understanding was he told Guterres that he would work for immigration. I think he really does want to, but I think there's going to be the House of Representatives are scared to death of taking on something else. Nancy Pelosi says it will start in the Senate. I think we have to start calling Tammy Baldwin and our representatives and tell them, no, we are ready for another fight. Don't be afraid. We're ready to take this on.
Okay. Mary, I want to thank you very much for being our guest. And I want to thank Mary Summers, Alex Gillis. I want to thank our engineer, Rich Yeager, the Health Writers Collective, and the Wart Collective. And thanks to all of you who listened to the program this evening. For Health Writers on the Air, this is Judy Lurquin. Good night now.
Oh, help me, please, doctor. I'm damaged. There's a pain where there once was a heart.